The war isn't just changing things for women in Syria. It's also affecting the way some women live in exile. Venetia Rainey has a story of one young Syrian woman now living in a village in Lebanon.
Hiba Bekai, who's 23, fled with her family from Damascus 2 years ago. In Syria, she was in the city she grew up in with her whole support network around her. In Lebanon, she felt lost. She was bored at home on her own every day and keenly aware that her husband was struggling to make enough from his occasional carpentry jobs to support her and their young son in their new host country. So she decided to register for a vocational course in crochet and needlework, even though she'd never had a paid job before in her life.
I had a little bit of background in crocheting already, so I was interested in it and started working on it. I really enjoyed it. I would work for hours at home on my crocheting. My mom would tell me, "Stop, you will hurt your eyes." And I would reply, "No, I'm happy. I want to do it."
Hiba shows me some of the things she's made this year. A handful of scarves, some with glittery thread woven in for effect, winter hats, a fabric doily, and a navy handbag that she lays gently on the table, her most difficult piece so far. She sells most items for between $7 and $15 to both Syrian and Lebanese customers. So far, she's earning around $33 a month. It's not much, though she's hoping for more now that it's winter. Hiba doesn't have a work permit. That requires money and a Lebanese sponsor, which puts it out of reach for most of Lebanon's 1.2 million Syrian refugees. So she works out of her home, and her business is technically illegal. Without a storefront, she's had to get creative about drumming up customers. Her first client was the NGO that trained her, Majmua.
They ordered more than 100 socks for their employees. Now it's mainly my friends and neighbors and family. I work on demand. If anyone wants something, they can call me and I will do it. I've also put some stuff on Facebook and I'm trying to promote my work by offering to customize any dress with some crochet detail.
That's the sound of Hiba at work on her new sewing machine, a gift from Majmua. She says this work has changed her days from endless, empty hours while her son was at school and her husband was out looking for work, to time she now looks forward to. She can sit and stitch in peace as the sun streams through the windows of her modest apartment in a remote mountainous part of Lebanon. Her new business has changed her, she admits, and she's much happier.
Before, I used to be just a housewife, cleaning, cooking, all that stuff. But now I feel self-confident. I'm independent. I'm doing something and being productive. Before, I never really went to the shops. Now I'm able to go there, talk to the manager, do business with them, get them to buy my materials, and sometimes stock my products.
At Hiba's apartment, I meet one of her best friends and most loyal customers. Marwa is also a refugee from Damascus, but they met at one of Majmua's training sessions. Marwa learned how to cut hair, although she hasn't turned it into a business like Hiba. For women of their background who often go to university but ultimately are expected to stay at home rather than work, that takes a certain amount of courage. Hiba's an anomaly, says Marwa, but the war back home has changed everything, and being a refugee means you have to do things you might not normally consider. Luckily, in Hiba's case, her husband supports what she's doing, and so does Marwa.
Hiba's business is a great idea. Locals here actually sympathize with Hiba because she's Syrian. Also, Syrians generally charge less than Lebanese shops.
This last point is a sensitive issue here in Lebanon. Syrian labor is cheaper, and many Lebanese worry that without restrictions, the refugees in the country would take over jobs meant for locals. Still, micro-businesses such as Hiba's are unlikely to put anyone out of work anytime soon. And in the meantime, she's accruing skills to take back to Syria with her. Hiba says she'd like to set up her own shop in Damascus once the war is over. Whenever that may be. For The World, Venetia Rainey, Beirut.
We're going to hear more tomorrow from young Syrians who have left their country. They're now very far from home in places like South Korea and Mexico. But the shadow of Syria stays with them.
I came from a place where I'm considered coming from a dangerous place, and people somehow, even if they don't say it in my face, they think about it.
That's tomorrow right here on The World.